Mics are live.
All right. Well, good afternoon. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-19-91, Otter Tail Power Generation Resource Cost Recovery. It is 1:35 p.m. on Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchek?
I don't either.
Commissioner Christman?
Me either, but welcome, everyone.
This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant does go first in this type of proceeding, but before we do that, have staff introduce themselves and then followed by representatives of the company.
Jerry Leon.
Victor Shook, staff.
Stuart Tomerdahl with Otter Tail Power.
William Rader, Otter Tail Power.
Kirk Finney, Otter Tail Power.
All right, and there's nobody on the phone bridge, correct, Steve?
Correct.
Okay, you can start.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. I have a couple of brief comments that I want to make before we get into the presentation this afternoon. This generation cost recovery rider is an important tool for allowing Otter Tail to the opportunity to address recovery of another significant investment, much like our environmental rider and the renewable rider and transmission riders have helped us in the past in allowing us to, make other key investments that help us to better serve our customers. And, without these riders, the only other opportunity that we can seek recovery of these big investments is through a general rate case. And, those proceedings are very time consuming and costly for all parties. And so, we think these are very beneficial tools and mechanisms that allow us to help bridge the gap. And if you reflect back to, from Otter Tail's perspective, we went from 2007 or 2008 to 2017 without filing a rate case. And, we attribute a lot of that from having these types of recovery mechanisms. And so we appreciate, the commission's support that we've had in the past for these types of riders. And, we believe that they're beneficial to all the parties involved. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Will and Kirk, and they're going to walk us through the presentation.
Thanks, Stuart. So we'll start with a discussion on the background of the Generation Cost Recovery Rider and the Astoria Station Natural Gas Plant. Then Kirk will provide some further information on Astoria Station and a project update. And then I'll wrap things up with a summary of our revenue requirement and the request in our initial filing. So starting with some background on the Generation Cost Recovery Rider and Astoria Station, the GCRR mechanism was approved in Otter Tail's most recent North Dakota rate case, and it was developed to recover the Astoria Station natural gas plant. The excerpt at the bottom of the slide is the language that was included in the approved rate case settlement agreement, and the generation rider will use a percent of bill rate design. Astoria Station has received an advanced determination of prudence. It was determined that Astoria Station, along with the Maricourt Wind Farm, would provide a least cost generation mix that will replace Hoot Lake Plant, which is scheduled for retirement in the spring of 2021. Finally, Otter Tail Power submitted its initial filing on March 1st, requesting approval of the initial rate for the generation rider mechanism. Now, I will turn it over to Kirk, and he will provide a more detailed discussion on Astoria Station and a current project status update.
Good afternoon. Kirk Finney, I'm the project manager for the Astoria Station project.
Kirk, can you say your last name again?
Finney, P-H-I-N-N-E-Y.
Okay.
So a little background on the Astoria Station simple cycle combustion turbine generation facility. About 245 megawatts is going to be the capacity that we'll be getting out of it. It's located near Astoria, South Dakota, kind of near Brookings, the Brookings area. With this project, some of the design for is the quick start capability to serve load following. We have a 10-minute startup is what we're looking for our design for basically to provide the peak capacity needs. And then with that, the capacity, the dispatchable energy, and it's really there for grid support as part of our two-part reliability plan for Maricourt on the wind side and then Astoria for that capacity component. And the project budget is $165 million. So I'm really just going to walk down our project execution plan and then just discuss where we're at in that plan today. And then if there's any questions, we can definitely go through those. So basically the execution plan is to obtain all permits and interconnection agreements, select an engineering design firm to assist in procurement and perform the detailed design of the plant. Otter Tail Power will be directly procuring the equipment and the contractors to install it. As we get that equipment, the engineer takes that information, does the balance of plant design, and then once the balance plant design is done, we'll procure a initial site civil contractor to actually do work in 2019, be grading and foundations, things like that. And then we'll also go out for a second one later that will be the mechanical, electrical installation and really get the, you know, receive the equipment, place it on the pads, foundations, hook it up and get it ready to push the start button. Otter Tail will perform the construction management through the project, and then we'll actually go out and procure a full commissioning services to check the equipment out and work towards startup and operation. So then where are we at with that? We have all of our permits and interconnection agreements in place. We have Sargent and Lundy, their firm based out of the Chicago area. They've been on board for a while here. We're coming towards the end of our equipment procurement. There were pre-construction requirements in all our permits, and we did all those activities and submitted that to the South Dakota PUC to start work. And actually, this week we're reviewing the proposals for this initial 2019 civil work. Some key dates on the screen here. May 2019 is going to be the start of construction. So that's, we'll probably start removing trees next week, actually. March of 2020 is when we'll actually receive the combustion turbine and the generator. It'll be a heavy haul shipment. A lot of planning to go on around that. And we're looking at a March 2021 commercial operation. There's a potential to be a little bit earlier in that, but that's kind of where we're at on our plan.
How does that correspond with Hoot Lake retirement? Is it just after this is done? Then
2 months prior to Hoot Lake. So have a story online, Hoot Lake retirement next.
Okay. And that's a flexible date if something gets held up. The Hoot Lake retirement is flexible. Somewhat?
Somewhat, yes.
How do you coordinate that with MISO? Is that do you give them a window of time too?
So there's a window related to that March timeline for Astoria where we can apply for the capacity accreditation, and it's actually at that time of the year. So that's kind of what's driving that date. And then as the MISO planning years work, I believe Hoot Lake can run as long as June of 2021 before it would be retired. Mm. So there's backstops and things like that you can do to if there is issues at that time.
Sure.
This next slide is just kind of a summary table of where we're at on the procurement status, just to kind of give you an idea of the commitments we've made for equipment supply. By far the largest agreement's the top one there on the combustion turbine generator. We've been under agreement with Mitsubishi Hitachi since November. And then everything after that's steps down quite a bit, but you see the electrical equipment in there. And on this, we've got 6 major equipment agreements in place, and it shows the initial site work. RFP's been issued. We're reviewing the bids. We'll go out for that general work contract around July, have that awarded by December of this year. Procurement phase has been going well. Pricing has been coming in line with what our cost estimate was, and schedules are being maintained very well. Don't see any issues right now. Just to kind of give you a picture, illustration here of the actual site. It's up on the screen here. Some of these major procurements or pieces of equipment that we have. You can see the generator step up transformer to the left. I don't know if there's a pointer or not, but the CT and the generator and the air inlet filter and the exhaust stack, like I was saying, is the major procurement that's all supplied by. Does it point?
Middle button.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. So this whole train here actually comes from Mitsubishi, everything from the foundation up. Admin, control, and electrical buildings are in this area right here. And there's a maintenance building here. We will have water on site for inlet cooling to get more power out of the unit during the summertime. So that's why you see 2 larger water tanks here. One's a service water, one's a demineralized water. And we have another agreement that's supplying basically the natural gas equipment that ties from the Northern Border Pipeline gas yard that's less than 1,000 feet away, and then it's just gas conditioning equipment that is in this lineup right here to bring it to the combustion turbine. And then you see the gen tie line right here, which is less than a half mile to the switch yard that...
I didn't see where you pointed at that.
Right here is where the power will come out of the unit to our generator tie line. It's less than a half mile, about a little more than a half mile, over to the switch yard that ties in to the 345 line that is our interconnection point.
When you say you procure this, what are your costs? Like, you don't pay for all of it right when you procure it. What's your obligation?
We base most of our agreements on milestone payments so that as they achieve, for instance, the combustion turbine, right about now they're going to have receipt of raw materials in their shop. So then there's a fairly large payment that's tied to that. There's payments halfway into manufacturing, pretty large payment once equipment's delivered. And then as the unit starts up and runs as planned, then you're making those final payments.
And that's how you tie it into the revenue requirement, too?
Yes. My cost forecast goes to Will. He takes it from there. It reflects where we are at awarding the agreement, the procurements and payment schedules and things like that, definitely.
So I have 3 questions that they don't necessarily have so much to do with the recovery, but I'm just curious. What's the acreage or the dimensions approximately of the work site?
So this site itself is about 400 by 300, so not a very large site. Not a very large site in terms of the final footprint. We have about 40 acres around us for laydown yards and things like that.
Okay. And what's the expected employee base of that operationally once it's...
3 to 5 permanent employees.
And I think you said earlier that you still have to get an interconnection agreement. I thought I remembered that you had that.
We have our interconnection agreements in place.
Okay.
So that demineralization there, is there a demineral plant next to it there on site?
So what we'll do is rent demin trailers where they actually bring this truck trailer in, park it beside. That's one of the reasons the tanks are as big as they are, so that they can park the truck, make the demin water, and then send it off to the supplier to regenerate it there. That's kind of typical on simple cycles to comply with zero discharge, not have that water flow.
How many employees, just for comparison, do you have at Hoot Lake?
Oh, what number are we at now? About 30?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's quite that many now. I mean,
but
we've been starting
when it was
to
running and just as a
yeah, I think it was
run
about
that plant versus this one.
Yeah, I
so
think
three
in
to
that
5 employees versus 30.
Yep. Yeah.
And what's the megawatts at Hoot Lake again?
About 150.
Okay. Yeah.
Any other questions? I think that's kind of all I have. All right.
Okay, so just want to provide a little summary on our revenue requirement for this recovery period. The table at the top of the slide, provides a summary of the revenue requirement, which is approximately $2.7 million, and calculates out to a proposed rate of 2.547% of a customer's bill. The proposed recovery period is July 2019 through June 2020, and we're proposing that the rate be implemented on July 1st of this year. The rate design, as we discussed earlier, is a percent of bill, and the estimated impact on a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours is less than $2. So just to wrap things up, Otter Tail is requesting commission approval of the actual costs and projected costs and collections included in our March 1st filing and to implement the proposed rate on July 1st. Thank you, and we'll take more questions.
You have the impact at $1.96. Is that net after discontinuing the generation charge tied to Hoot Lake?
No.
What do you have a number for that, and you know, understanding that it's,
yeah, I mean, the recovery period here, I mean, Hoot Lake is still operating during this recovery period, and so as we, you know, get into 2021 and that particular rider update filing, you know, then we'll be evaluating those cost adjustments at that point. With regard to the retirement of Hoot Lake, and
so customers would be charged for both facilities simultaneously, even though one won't be generating for approximately a year. Is that right? Yeah. Not quite. Eight, nine months.
Well, it's
or 10 months.
Hoot Lake will be retired in the spring of 2021.
Right.
So that's 2 years from
now. 2 years.
Yeah.
Is it fully depreciated now?
It will be in 2021, yeah.
Okay, yep. So then customers would actually be charged for approximately 2 years for this facility, plus the carrying costs of Hoot Lake, and then also when Hoot Lake retires, there'll be associated retirement costs that have to be factored in.
And there have been accumulated retirement costs, you know, that we've been booking over. It's built into depreciation, so there's a, you know, a reserve for retirement that's, you know, been set up for that.
How long? It won't be running much after this one is running, though. Like, you're going to be retiring it quickly.
Right. It's a 2 month, you know. If it follows the schedule, it'll probably be within a couple of months.
So there isn't very much time where, well, it'll be hard to be. But where, I mean, there's no other real way except for purchasing from the market of not having customers double pay some when you're building a new facility to replace another one, right? You still have to use it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's still there to generate and serve our customers as needed.
The new one isn't ready yet.
Yep.
Well, when does the AmeriCorps kick in?
That will be sometime in the fall of 2020 is the current schedule. So we'll start seeing the benefit of that, you know, that new generation.
So that'll be the
customers.
Fall of 2020.
Right. Ahead of.
This should be operational by the spring of
2021.
Yep. And then you shut down Hood Lake.
Correct.
In the summer. And so if this were a little bit late, there's probably not very many times when you need to peak until it gets towards summer. So you have kind of a few months in that regard too, really.
And with Hoot Lake being a little bit higher cost unit, you know, it doesn't get dispatched as much, you know, in the shoulder periods. And
the equipment or all the components, turbines, everything, it's already on U.S. soil. Some of it is shipped in, I would imagine.
So the combustion turbine will be made in Savannah, Georgia, a Mitsubishi shop there. Okay. The generator will come from their Hitachi generator shop in Japan. A lot of the overseas shipped items like that will more than likely arrive in Houston around December, January of this year, and then be railed up closer to the site.
What kind of a gas contract do you have to serve this? Is it a firm, like, or what is it?
Yeah, I know our power services folks are still working on that. Number of suppliers that they're, you know, evaluating. That ship on the pipe that's, you know, that we'll be taking gas off of. So, I mean, they're still in the in
they're
in
set
evaluation.
To issue an RFP.
Okay.
Two firms that will essentially they will be the ones balancing our use.
So, will it be the type? And I don't have all the terms down, so you'll just have to I'll describe what I mean. Will it be the type of contract where you have the gas? It's, I think that's called firm, where you have it and somebody can't bump you off. So if there gets to be a time, like a spike in February where the temperatures are really low and everybody wants gas because all the units are running, then all of a sudden you're paying a much higher price. Will it be that kind of contract or will it be more of a steady? Do you know what the preference is or what the RFP will say?
So we'll be going out to marketers to take care of that balancing. I believe we'll be subject to what the market pricing will be on that pipeline. But one of the reasons we are going to these marketers is so that they've got a bigger a pot to play with. As Northern Border Pipeline did not have firm transportation to offer to us. I think it gets a little interesting with the peaking part of the unit where you're trying to guess where you're going to run and things like that. I'm not too comfortable talking about it. I'm not the expert in it. Our power services group has been reviewing that.
Do you know if they seek a certain percent, we know we're going to need at least this much always, and then everything else fluctuates with the market, or you don't think they get any firm?
Yeah, well, I'm not that in a position to comment on that detail.
And that's just a pass-through cost rate, like that.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
So that wouldn't affect this rider. It will affect their bills, though.
Yeah, I mean, the fuel cost would run through the energy adjustment rider. Yes.
You hedge on the pricing side at all?
You know, again, it's going to depend on, I think, them looking at how much they feel the plant may be dispatched. You know, because it is kind of a peaking unit, you can't always predict, you know, when it will be called on. So that's one aspect of, you know, what can you do from a hedging perspective that our power services folks, they monitor and evaluate, look at forward curves, where the markets are going and weather forecasts and all those things. And
my nephew, I think, is in that line of work for you. Nick Ellingson?
He works in that. He's in the same building, I know.
Same building.
Yep.
Make sure you keep him in line. His uncle is watching.
Okay.
That's unfair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell them anyway.
Okay.
All the better. Jerry or Victor?
So I'm trying to remember back to our settlement from the rate case. I thought we had an adjuster in there for when Hoot Lake comes offline. I don't recall the language in it specifically. Was it only rate base reduction?
I think we come back to that ordering point. It talks about we'll evaluate, changes in costs. So it's I'm pretty sure we're talking not only capital but O&M related. Yeah.
Where I was starting to think in that is, you were talking about, normally there's about 30 staff at Hoot Lake, and that's starting to drop down. So are we seeing a reduction in O&M because of that? Is kind of staffing starting to fall off?
I can't speak to the exact numbers right now. I mean, that's we can certainly follow up with where things are at this point.
I guess
point.
That'd be interesting. So, if it's just, one or two, it maybe doesn't make a big difference. But if it's, if you're dropping by half already, I kind of doubt it because, you've got to keep things going.
Exactly, so,
I'd be interested to see what the cost of labor is now versus what it was when we were going through the rate case.
Sure.
And then kind of even in reference to that, kind of comparing Hoot Lake, this isn't so much for financial information, but even looking at, so Hoot Lake takes 30 staff to run, but part of that is because it's running a much higher percentage of the time than this plant is going to be. So I think traditionally the CTs run 10%-ish percent of the time. Is that the approximate plan?
Mm. Yeah, 10 to 12% is what we're using in the design.
Okay. Yeah. Hoot Lake, I'm not sure what it's most recent, probably in the 40?
Yeah, I'd be speculating right now. I mean, it runs more over the winter time, and during some of our peak periods. Again, it's all kind of dependent on what's going on in the MISO market, what's available, and where the cost of Hoot Lake fits in the supply stack. So, that's the big driver in terms of the dispatch of the of the plant.
Okay. And then, I know they're not coming up quite due for another month or so here, but how are earnings looking for 2018, and then kind of how those would relate to 2019 for the company as a whole, or for North Dakota, I should say.
Yeah, they're just in review right now. I think they were fairly close to what, where
we're planning around.
Yep. We haven't finalized those numbers yet.
That's
still in review. Yep.
Trying to preface that a little bit.
Yep.
Without having final information. I'm just kind of wondering if we were in an over-earnings situation where we could look to do something different. So I guess we'll just kind of have to see where those come out, because those usually come out in mid to late May.
We expect we should be able to get them out probably in the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That's all I have.
Okay.
Just to follow up on what Victor was asking, is this facility going to have a higher cost per megawatt to run? Do you expect that its price bidding into the market will be higher than for Hoot Lakes?
I guess I can't answer that question right now. Again, it's going to be a function of gas prices is one of the key components for that.
I mean, that
had to offer it
play
in
into the company's decision to retire Hoot Lake and run and build this. And our decision to
correct
give you the approval to do that.
So, right.
I mean, I would expect that this is cheaper than Hoot Lake.
I think the combination of the package, of Maricourt, that's providing the bulk of the replacement energy, and then Astoria that's there for capacity purposes and when we need it during those peak times. The combination of those two was the sort of the least cost portfolio that made the most sense for retiring Hoot Lake. We had significant investments we would have needed to make into Hoot Lake to, you know, it was built back in the middle 50s, and emissions and, you know, efficiencies kinds of investments that just didn't make economic sense, you know, to pursue that. I can't answer specifically on the...
Separately, you can make those calculations.
Right.
Cost taken out, Hoot Lake versus this, I would assume, right?
Yeah, I mean, our modelers that look at, our resource planners look at the dispatch and do the modeling, you know, we can certainly... Okay. Do those calculations. I just don't have them.
Yeah.
I'm not close enough to give you all of those.
Just as a follow-up, maybe, and it's more of a educational piece for me,
mm-hmm.
to understand that piece of it. Just if you wouldn't mind just getting back on that question, that would be great.
Our estimate on the dispatch type.
Yep.
Yep.
And sort of put the... Well, I guess you kind of have to calculate just in... Whatever average fuel cost for both gas and the coal would be reasonable in that calculation.
Sure.
I want to follow that up with another question, more for my knowledge. This is like the dimensions. It doesn't really have anything to do with your recovery. But I hear so much talk oftentimes about how one generation source compares to another generation source that's being replaced. When you look at an older facility, like in this case Hoot Lake, the cost of the power that's being replaced isn't really an exact amount. There's your cost of fuel, that's one thing, but the cost of the power coming out of there would vary depending on whether the plan for it was to keep it open for 6 months or 2 years or 10 years or 30 years, right? The longer you can keep it open, the more maintenance things you're doing and such. And mm-hmm. so there's not an exact amount that a plant costs to produce the power. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at it holistically with all of the, you know, not only O&M related costs, but capital costs, you know, you have to look at it out over, you know, sort of whatever life time frame that, you know, you're doing the evaluation. And I think Hoot Lake got to a point where that it just did not make economic sense to put any more, you know, money into that plant.
Keep it going for the long term.
Exactly.
All right. Anything, Jerry, did you have? Victor, you're good?
Yep. I'm good, too.
Thanks. All right.
That's me.
I thought I gestured. Commissioner Christman, do you have anything further you would like to add?
Thank you, no.
All right. Anything else from the company?
No. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here.
All right. The handout, as well as the audio recording of this proceeding, will now be considered evidence. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming a part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached?
No.
No objection.
And nothing else to add from anyone at this point, it looks like. So then the evidence as presented will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Okay, seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you.